Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the topic is mining, and we have the president of the Nevada Mining Association, Tim Crowley, plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Ty Cobb, Elisa Meza, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
In the campaign for U.S. Senate, Sharon Angle is the best choice for conservative Republicans. Angle served 4 terms in the Nevada State Assembly, emerging as a conservative leader in the fight for lower taxes and less government spending. And that's why Sharon Angle has earned the support of the Nevada Republican Assembly, the Tea Party Express, Gun Owners of America, conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly, and many others.
Our country deserves better. PAC, TeaPartyExpress.org is responsible for the content of this ad.
This segment of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the international law firm of Greenberg Traurig, serving our community for decades as Nevada lawyers and as Greenberg Traurig since 2005. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program the president of the Nevada Mining Association, Tim Crowley. Good to have you here, sir.
Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
So gold, as it sits today, north of $1,200 an ounce. What does this mean in terms of expanded production for the state of Nevada?
Well, it's a great thing for the state of Nevada in a multitude of ways. One, it means more tax revenues. As we succeed more, we expand, we buy more things, we hire more people. But it also makes different ore bodies economical to mine. Not all areas where there is gold will turn a profit, and so areas that have lower concentrations of gold now are economical to mine, and so it provides more sustainability in the industry. It allows more juniors to get involved in gold mining, and it will elongate our market.
And when you talk about juniors, you mean smaller companies, not necessarily the Newmonts and the Barricks.
Yeah, and there's a handful that have really come online in the last couple of years as the price of gold has gone up. There's one based in Lovelock called First Gold, one in Reno called Allied Gold, and many other companies. Exploration companies that are morphing away from exploration into operation, like Centerra, U.S. Gold, AUEX, all Nevada-based businesses that are coming online. Frontier. What it does that I don't know the public would know about, and it's something we would like. That we'd like them to know is that it allows them to go into older mines that were shut down because they capped out at the profit margin and now are profitable to go back in and mine. But to go back into an old shut down mine requires today's environmental standards. So it's a good way to go back to some older historical mines that may have a bit of a liability associated with them and bring them up to modern standards.
Yeah, one of the things that I pulled something down from the website, that Nevada's gold industry produced 5.7 million ounces of gold in 2008, down from 6 million ounces in 2007. You know, when you're looking at that, is it possible now that we know that this is, you know, slowing down, this development process, is there a way that we can set some of that revenue aside for what some of the state's primary needs are? You know, say for example, you know, K-12 education, or, you know, some of the other major programs, mental health, mental retardation, some of those areas that are where there are critical needs that are exceptional. Are there ways that that can be done so that maybe we can have a longer term, maybe a little less money each cycle?
The drop in production isn't necessarily a drop in the in what we're finding out there. It's a reflection of what we just talked about, in that as the price of gold comes up, you traditionally see a drop in production because it takes less gold to maintain a profit margin. Mm-hmm. And so what mining companies will do is they'll look to those lower grade areas and they'll mine those. It takes more, they have to move more material to get gold and to make a profit, and in moving more material you're mining less gold, mm-hmm. but you're still maintaining that profit margin. So mm-hmm. it's a way of becoming more and more sustainable, and I think you'll see at the production to continue to drop if the price of gold continues to go up.
But you do believe that there can be a slight increase or some kind of increase for some of those other key areas inside state government?
I think that was what was contemplated in the late 80s when we were bifurcated as the only industry in the state to pay an additional property tax. All industries, all individuals pay a maximum of $3.64 per $100 mm-hmm. of assessed valuation. At that time, we were split out and we paid $5 per assessed valuation. And I know you were around then, Scott. I was in college at that time, and I think that was what was contemplated, was to put that increment on top of the county level and provide some funding for the state general fund. So our tax contributions for education are quite high. In fact, many of the mining communities, the counties in which the mines are thriving, receive no state money from the Nevada plan. They're yeah. self-sufficient, and so that alleviates pressure on the urban counties.
I want to ask you a question that kind of intrigues me. I've heard a lot of discussion on Fox Business News about this, which is that gold really is not a great investment per se, that we're seeing the price of gold so high because of the economic condition in the country and around the world, and gold being seen as a safe haven. How do you feel about that, and what kind of private discussions are going on within the industry about how long gold can remain at this high of a level?
Well,
where's it heading?
I hate to dodge that question, but it's above my pay grade to know where gold is going. But and I don't want to speculate on where it's going, because I'm just simply not trained to predict those kind of things. But we're seeing a continual trend up, and that trend is based on demand. Demand is still there, and so even if some are saying it's a bad investment now, clearly others are saying it's still a good investment, because
so a better investment rather than just a safe haven.
Well, there's different markets for gold. There's investment dollars, there's technology, there's jewelry. Jewelry is still a major place for the use of gold.
Yeah, and particularly in India, right?
Particularly in India. And in the Persian Gulf, you have, as the price of oil goes up, you've historically seen those countries buy more and more gold, partly for jewelry purposes.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Tim Crowley when we come back.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen.
Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10,000.com.
This segment of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the international law firm of Greenberg Traurig, serving our community for decades as Nevada lawyers and as Greenberg Traurig since 2005. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Tim Crowley. He's the president of the Nevada Mining Association.
You've got a ballot initiative that you're going to deal with. It's one of those two voter election cycles, and it would hike the mining tax by 300%. Give us a little bit of background on what's going on there.
Sure.
And what the impacts might be one way or another.
Well, the impacts are profound, and it's an initiative that would be crippling to the industry. And what I think most people think of when they think of mining is they think of gold, and they see the price of gold at over $1,200 an ounce, and they say you could throw anything at them, and they could absorb it. What they forget to remember is that Nevada is very diverse in its mining, where everything from geothermal energy would pay this new tax increase under the initiative, to molybdenum, to lithium, to gypsum, and the list goes on and on and on, not to mention the supply chain that relies on that. So we're employing 14,000 Nevadans who are making their living at one way or another through the mining industry, and for those companies to absorb a 300% increase in their tax burden is undoable for many, many businesses. And even the ones who supposedly could absorb it, you'll see investment dollars in their future business dry up. So it's devastating to it would be devastating to Nevada mining, and I don't want to suggest that we're ignoring that initiative, but our eye is on fixing today's economic issue and working with policymakers to help them find solutions to the fiscal crisis that we're in today.
And where does that stand? What does that discussion stand?
Well, let me just say that ballot initiative doesn't address today's problem at all. As Scott mentioned, it wouldn't be enacted if approved by the voters twice. It wouldn't be enacted until 2013, and the law requires a balanced budget come next year, and so we'll be at the table trying to help the legislature make good decisions.
Well, and it's pretty outrageous to go from a net profits tax to a gross profits tax.
We're not even sure what gross profits mean. I think what the initiative in entails is a gross revenue tax, so it doesn't even contemplate whether you're profiting or not. It would tax whatever revenue you make.
Caro Velardo put out a news release on April 14th and said that her board expressed concerns, including the lack of consideration given by proponents to the impact the proposed amendment would have on minerals other than gold that are mined in Nevada, and the impact on geothermal operations, which have been touted as an integral component to Nevada becoming a leader in green energy production. Additionally, prices associated with natural resource commodities are extremely volatile, and this proposed change would do nothing to stabilize Nevada's tax policy. And her last line, which I think is the most important, she said, "This initiative effectively constitutes ballot box budgeting, a very poor fiscal policy."
The initiative is reckless. It would be very, very harmful to renewable energy. I was just talking to one of our members that is a geothermal company the other day, and was firmly convinced that this would put them could potentially put them out of business. There are 45 new geothermal projects in the works right now. Within the next 10 years, we're going to have enough geothermal capacity to power 2 million homes. It's a big piece of where Nevada's future is going, and to put a crippling burden on them right now is reckless and foolish.
But you're not saying that you're not willing to come to the table.
No, in fact, I think our record shows we've always come to the table. In this last special session, we came and were able to do a temporary fee increase that generates $25.7 million for to balance the budget. In 2009, we came to the table and supported the increase in sales taxes and increase in payroll taxes. And keep in mind, our largest tax contribution, our largest tax category, are sales taxes, because it's expensive to run a mine. You have to buy very expensive equipment, and we're paying sales taxes on all that. So in 2008, we paid $100 million in sales taxes alone. So to support an increase in sales taxes is a big deal to us.
Let's talk about the mining. We've got about a minute left here. The federal mining law has not been changed since the 1800s, late 1800s. Are there changes that the mining industry would accept at this point?
There are, and we've always participated in mining law reform conversations. It's our understanding that, that mining law reform has been taken off of the agenda for this year, but absolutely, we think that the U.S. citizens deserve a fair return on mining activity, and we're willing to pass a reasonable support a reasonable bill when that agenda item is taken up again.
I just wanted to get a very quick response, and I know that you're mining
sure.
In Nevada. But what are your thoughts on what happened in the Gulf and the oil spill?
Oh yeah, I'd like to hear this too.
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean we can't forget that there were lives lost in the Gulf. There were lives lost in West Virginia this year, and our focus has to be on making sure that Nevada operations do not lose lives. That is the paramount concern of ours that we address each and every day when we start our jobs. It's a cultural behavior that you have to remind every worker you will do everything you can to go home to your family. The safety is never something that you can put in the back of your mind. It has to be at the forefront of your thoughts. So the Mining Association itself has a very robust safety committee. We pull the industry together to work on best practices, work with MSHA, which is the equivalent of OSHA in the mining industry. There's a state mine inspector, and we work with the state to constantly improve what we're doing and be safer.
Thank you so much for being here. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Thanks for your help, Don.
Sure, Mike. How's your construction business going?
It's really growing. How's your business going?
Well, ever since I opened the restaurant, I've been having trouble with my workers' comp program. Who handles your workers' comp?
Well, I use Pro Group Management. They really work with me.
Are they expensive?
Well, I've never had an increase in rates.
Whoa.
I'll get you the number. And thanks again, Don. I couldn't have done this without you.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
On the next face-to-face, it's one of the most powerful seats in the state. Now, four Democrats are vying to replace Rory Reid on the Clark County Commission. We'll meet them and find out where they stand. That's on the next face-to-face.
Haven't seen it all until you've seen us. Save big on white flowery lilac and pink ground cover roses, number 5 container, regularly $24.99 each, now only $10 each. Save on tomatoes, large G&G grown 1-quart tomatoes, just $1.88 each. See us for the best variety of vegetables and bedding. G&G Nursery and Landscaping on Pyramid Highway, 2 blocks north of McCarran Boulevard, Sparks.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
News 4's exclusive SkyCam network, keeping an eye on Northern Nevada. Before the other crews get to the scene, News 4 has you covered for breaking news, weather, and traffic conditions. Plan your day with News 4's exclusive SkyCam network.
This segment of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the international law firm of Greenberg Traurig, serving our community for decades as Nevada lawyers and as Greenberg Traurig since 2005. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, Trey Abney is here, Director of Government Relations for the Reno-Sparks Chamber of Commerce. Elisa Mazur is here. She is the President and CEO of Nevada Advocates for Planned Parenthood. And Ty Cobb, former Special Assistant to President Reagan. I wanted to pick up on something that Danny Tarkanian was talking about yesterday and was talked about at the debates here in Reno, which is he wants to shut down the Department of Education. And I've raised the point that Ronald Reagan had 8 years and wasn't able to accomplish that.
And in fact, you strengthen the Department of Education. There, I think you could make some arguments for it because education is principally done at the state level. But you have somebody like Arne Duncan and all of the initiatives that are being done under the Obama administration. I think it would be extraordinarily difficult to eliminate the Department of Education, as Ronald Reagan and his team found out.
Your thoughts?
Well, you need the department to administer the grants that are coming from the federal level to the states and school districts. And so we've set up this system where that's how the funding works. If you kept the funding in the state, then, you know, you could, I guess, eliminate the federal department. But I don't see that happening.
Well, you know, as Ronald Reagan used to say, the closest thing to eternal life you'll find here on this earth is a government agency or program. Next to impossible to eliminate that thing. We'd probably be better off just sending the money directly down to school districts without having all the overhead. And I trust Heath Morrison and also and our school board much more to make the decisions that need to be made than the Department of Education in D.C. But
and interesting, Reno Gazette Journal reporting this morning that the Education Board and Heath Morrison decided not to go with a bond issue in 2010.
That's right. They decided that in this kind of environment, it's going to be kind of a weird election year anyway, and the economy. They've still got 2 years left on the current bond, so it's not an issue. And they're going to embark on a two-year education campaign of the community to show where this money has actually gone, where it's going to go, and the real needs. And this gives Superintendent Morrison a chance to implement his reform agenda and show what he's really doing over there.
All right, let's talk about what's going on in the U.S. Senate race, because obviously fascinating race here in the state. What are the lessons that the candidates here should be learning from what happened on primary day on Tuesday?
Well, I think the anti-incumbent message is a good one.
Why?
You saw that people are upset, and it seems like they're upset at everybody that holds office. Harry Reid.
Except the special election for Murtha's seat, where his aide won over Wall Street. So it's not incumbency, it's establishment, maybe? I mean, so when it's an aide who's not making much money and people like him versus million-dollar
Wall Street. But his aide ran to the right on several issues of that Republican, so I don't know.
Well, we have this anti-incumbent fervor, but yet the data shows that despite all of that, about 88% get reelected anyway. Mm-hmm. There's only about 22 truly competitive races even in the House. I think what has come out recently, Tuesday being the prime example, is a dramatic shift rightward in American political thinking.
But are we also going to see the people on the left who are not happy with Obama gaining strength, or have they all just disappeared?
I think that it's people are looking for authentic candidates who have a solution and that you can actually trust. And I think that's why some of our current candidates within our state are in so much trouble, is that they've changed their positions over time. There are districts where supporting Obama's agenda and even accelerating Obama's agenda is going to play well if you go in and you're not willing to, you know, get stuck in the gridlock, I think.
Let's talk about Club for Growth, a major player in the 2nd Congressional District 4 years ago. Sharon Angle almost took out Dean Heller. It was pretty close. Now they're coming in to support her with money in the last couple of weeks before the primary. Will this make a difference?
Oh, absolutely. Club for Growth was a very important contributor to her campaigns in the past, and they've enjoyed a resurgence around the country with Pat Toomey running in Pennsylvania. And I think it will certainly help Sharon. She's closed the poll differential with Sue Loudon to 5 points. I think Sue Loudon's still the leader in that race, but it will make a difference now that early voting has begun.
Your thoughts on Club for Growth?
I think Sharon is the consistent conservative. She's the one with the actual record. So, and the Club for Growth, it's not a surprise endorsement, but the money is going to make a big difference. And
all right. So how does the Reid campaign view this? Would they rather have Sue Loudon, who they've hammered so far, or would they rather have Sharon Angle, that they've just had a little touch on?
I think they'd rather have Sharon Angle, if I were Senator Reid in his campaign. She definitely has a voting record and a history of public statements and publicity that they could probably work with, let's put it that way. If I were Reid, I wouldn't want I wouldn't want either one of them. You have a articulate conservative women in a year where I think a lot more Republicans and a lot more conservatives are more energized to turn out than Democrats are. So I wouldn't want either one of them. But I'd be
Although the campaign that's making more mistakes is the Loudoun campaign. So maybe that's the one you want.
Well, I think it's interesting on Harry Reid, despite him trailing in the polls, he continues to take on initiatives that he thinks are important but are highly unpopular with the Nevada electorate, and that's immigration reform, cap and trade, and the bailout of the banks, the financial reform. And Harry Reid has been at the front of these, especially the health care debate.
Well, I think wait till day after Election Day and start seeing the campaign coming out, and we'll see whether the campaign is all about what he's delivered for Nevada and, you know, what might go away if he wasn't there.
Well, the big question back in Washington is if Harry Reid should win a re-election, will he come back as majority leader, or will Schumer or Durbin move into that position?
Why would he give that up?
I don't think he would.
I don't think he would either. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
I don't think it's his choice.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Michael. We invite you to the new addition at Damani Ranch by De Loretto Homes of Nevada.
Perfectly situated in the beautiful serenity of the Damani Ranch, the new addition is casual yet elegant living starting at $192,000.
Our luxury paired homes come standard with granite slab kitchen countertops, 9-foot ceilings, and tankless hot water heaters.
For more than 35 years, the De Loretto Homes name has meant pride in workmanship, quality in every detail, and award-winning homes.
Come experience the new addition at Damani Ranch.
So you the guys out here offering all the choices.
Well, we're just giving the customers what they want.
Customers?
Come on, I'll show you guys.
Choose the bundle for you. Unlike cable, you can even bundle wireless voice service. Call and get three, starting at $99 a month, including DVR and a one-year price guarantee. Switch and get up to $100 back via promotion cards from AT&T.
Digital TV lets you program your DVR from your wireless phone or computer.
What?
You can get high-speed internet at home and on the go.
My kids love that game.
And with AT&T Wireless, you get a better 3G experience.
Get out of here.
Call and get three, starting at $99 a month, including DVR and a one-year price guarantee on select services. Switch to get up to $100 back via promotion cards from AT&T.
What do you say we go for a ride?
What?
So you can hook us up with a bundle? What?
Fed up with politicians who won't tell the truth? Like Rory Reid's Washington friends running these ads lying about Brian Sandoval. Brian never sued to increase taxes, and he opposes driver's licenses for undocumented workers. And Jim Gibbons, he says he never raised taxes, but he did. $300 million in new taxes on us while he pressured local officials to cut his own taxes. Reid and Gibbons, everything that's wrong with public service. Brian Sandoval, honest, conservative leadership.
This segment of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the international law firm of Greenberg Traurig, serving our community for decades as Nevada lawyers and as Greenberg Traurig since 2005.
Among the guests coming up next week on the program, Sharon Angle, Mike Montandon, and Chad Christensen. We'll see you on the next Nevada Newsmakers. Thanks for watching and listening.